Getting into real estate is fairly easy. Getting a real estate license is actually not super hard. Like you even shared, it's not rocket science. However, there is people who are real estate agents who are broke, and there are people who are real estate agents who make tons of money.
Hey there, I am Dr. Jason Ballara, and this is the Know Your Why podcast, where we explore the why behind success. Every week, I meet with real estate investors, veterinary entrepreneurs, mindset coaches, authors, and fitness professionals to uncover their why and how it drives them on the winding road to success. What is your why?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Ballara, and this is the Know Your Why podcast. Today, I'm here with Danny Hampton. Danny's a real estate professional leading the Danny Hampton Group at Real Broker LLC in Southlake. You're raised in North Fort Worth, Texas, and alongside your husband, you managed a team while raising two young girls. And before we started recording, I think that'll probably fall into today's discussion. But first, I just want to say thank you. Thanks for coming on the show today. Thanks for taking the time out and being here to share your story. Absolutely. Danny, let's start there. Let's start with your story, your background, kind of, you know, where you came from, how you got to where you are now, and then we'll have a conversation.
Yeah. So I would say I stumbled into my real estate career pretty young in life. For one, I got married when I was 18 years old, and I am still married to that same man. So we're about to actually have our 15th wedding anniversary. And we're like, are we even old enough to say that? But that's what happens when you get married the second you become legal. I got into real estate when I was 22, and I would say it was looking for a career that didn't require me to go to school for 4 years. That was probably my first interest into it, other than it being in the people business. I was always in a customer service related field, and so I liked working around people. But getting into real estate at 22, definitely had a lot of learning curves, but that in addition to being married very young. So let me just say I chose the hard way of life from the very beginning of finding my husband super young, getting married young, starting a career, essentially a career that you need to learn how to operate a business young. Everything was kind of failing forward and going through a lot of growing pains. And no one told me that the second you get into your 30s, that you only experience a second set of growing pains, because I'm feeling like I'm relearning everything that I learned in my 20s, which now makes sense why some people wait to get married later. But we also had kids pretty young. We had kids when I was 24 years old. I had my second child at 27, all while building a real estate team. And since my youngest was born, I started my real estate team, got to see us grow from doing on average 50 transactions a year to over 150 transactions past the pandemic. And just from there, learning again to just continue to navigate how to build a business and support a team and support a family. And I also got to get my husband out of corporate America. So he wouldn't say he willingly did that, but I feel like life obviously happened the way it did on purpose, because given our second child, I'll share this, our second child was born with a heart condition, and it required a full-time parent to stay home, because in that moment we didn't feel comfortable having trying to find a nanny that would give heart medication to an infant.
You had all of this stuff kind of happened at a young age. And I think in some ways that's kind of amazing. Like you're in a way, you probably it's almost like you're growing up with your kids. I had, you know, my kids are young, like my son's 5, my daughter's coming up on 3, and I'm 49. So I'm like the other end of that. Yeah. Like the other end of that spectrum. And it's again, like, it's not good or bad. It's just a different way. And it's like, I sometimes think back to, had I had kids at, you know, in my early 20s, like, I don't even think I'm a particularly patient person now, but I'm a way more patient person now than I was then. And so, like, I think it's just kind of figuring out how that all goes together. So give me a time frame on like the years, like the actual dates of when did you enter real estate? Because the reason I ask is I'm intrigued as to how it plays into the 2008 financial crash. Like, when did you start?
Right. So 2013 was when I got my license. So I'm actually at my year 11 mark. And 2013 was, let's say, probably getting into that healthier spot of the recovery of 2008 and 2009. I am a result of getting into home ownership at that time. I did buy my first home in 2009. I was 19 years old. It was because the government was just giving away money and telling everyone to go buy houses. So I was like, cool, I make $9 an hour and I got approved. But you know, I'm thankful that we were responsible and we didn't do anything silly with that and lose a house. But because of that, you know, that did influence me getting into real estate. I got into real estate in 2013. We had pretty healthy interest rates at that time, as far as just being in like I believe we were around 4% in that mark. And I would say it was pretty active. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of homes for listed, but also a lot of buyers.
Things can work. And if you're in the right life, you know, right place in your life where you've got some money to invest in that and maybe not the time to go, it doesn't make sense for you to go work for someone. But I think that's a hugely important or effective way to get into, you know, real estate or whatever is just go work for someone.
Oh, any business. Absolutely. Any business. I think in all honesty, because now I've realized that I'm an entrepreneur. I don't think I really knew that back then. But now that I've kind of come to this identity of like knowing I'm an entrepreneur, regardless of what I've learned in my real estate business, if I started another business, I probably would still fall under someone else's umbrella.
It doesn't mean you don't take risks, but it's just, there's a little bit more on the table to worry about. And I think I sometimes you see like really young people in some of these mentorship programs. And I would argue that they're really probably better off going and getting a job with someone that's doing what they want to do. It's not to say that paid mentorship programs are bad. I've done them. They help me a lot. I just think that apprenticeship model is a really, really smart way to do it. Just be, as you said, that's how you're going to get close to it. You know, that you might join a mentorship program to say, I'm going to, you know, cause I want to work with those people. I want to work with the people that run this mentorship. But at the end of the day, it's probably very unlikely that you're going to end up working directly with them. You're going to get to kind of learn from them and get their materials and their, you know, hopefully access to some of their network, but you're not, it's a different level to actually work directly with them. And that's where that apprenticeship piece comes in.
Well, I think it's probably the accountability side, right? We can learn anything on YouTube today, right? Everybody says, they call it like YouTube University or whatever. And which, I mean, that makes sense. But I also see how, again, it just kind of comes down to you, right? Like, how are you going to apply it into your life? And I think that most of us need some type of accountability. For a very good portion of my real estate career, I would probably say I could have gotten farther faster, and as silly as that probably sounds, because I know a lot of people will look at me today and I'm in my early 30s and they're like, wow, look at all that you've done. But I'm like, yeah, but again, I still can see where I didn't really apply any kind of accountability. And I also, again, since I started in my early 20s, I was still just figuring out who I was. And I think I actually probably will admit that I got lost in that identity of being good at my job. So I was I have a lot of sales skills that are natural to me just from my personality.
Yeah. You feel very confident and comfortable in surgery, and then sort of moving into a real estate and syndication role, it's just a different role, and not having that same confidence and comfort level that it feels weird. It just doesn't, you're like, this isn't good. I don't like how this feels, but you have to kind of lean into it.
Let me bring this up. I want to bring this up, actually, that you're talking about that, because I actually think this ties into what we were talking about at first, which was kind of going under somebody and working with somebody. I heard about that borrowed confidence. And so I never really put those two together, but I was like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. The gentleman that I worked for when I got into real estate was a very confident person. And he actually, because he came from the builder world before he actually got his real estate license. So he really did walk in with a lot of confidence, because it was almost parallel to the business he was already doing.
It's not rocket science. It's not like this crazy, like, hard to understand concepts or all of that. And a lot of it is just kind of the same thing over and over again with a level of nuance to each, you know, transaction or whatever it is. So instead of, and this is, I'm saying this from experience, like, instead of saying, oh, my past life was something different, none of that applies, I think for people, it's actually like looking and saying, well, what does apply, right? Like what in there is, can I use and take over and have it be, you know, sort of applicable in whatever I do. And I think we just don't realize how much of it is just, you know, like you said, you know, you're sort of naturally skilled at sales. Like that, if you left real estate, there's about a million other places you could use that type of skill and apply it the same way, just like the ability.
That's probably what exact. No, you're right. Sorry to cut you off. I think you turns on. That's why I think this business turned on the entrepreneur side of my brain, because I realized where this can apply to a lot of different places in life and businesses. However, I do know that people, again, it, depending on where they are in their business. So real estate, like, this is my bread and butter. Like this, I got my husband out of corporate America. Yep, all of my coins are in this one. So I'm like, I got to make sure that this one survives. And of course, choosing a job that is 100% commission, like, awesome. Like, it has its, you know, pros, but also has its cons. So obviously having ourselves to a position where we're like, okay, how can we have a business? Because again, real estate, sometimes people take the job as a sales job. Okay. So I'm actually glad that I'm bringing this up, because I was saying this the other day to somebody else. I was like, I got into real estate thinking I just need to be a good real estate agent. I didn't think about having a real estate business. So I think that, just like you were sharing, having those other skill sets from other past experiences in business. Well, I didn't have a long resume. Actually, I would probably say I did actually have a long resume, because I was one of those teenagers that just hopped jobs. But I wouldn't want to put that in my resume. So going into real estate, that was almost one of my very first professional career jobs. And I think that given most get into real estate as their second career
early on in the process, you're going to help yourself a lot doing that. But at the same time, being in business, being an entrepreneur, it is hard. It's a hard way to go, especially in the beginning. And as you grow, you know, in theory, things should get easier over time. I want to ask you, this is kind of unrelated to what we're on right now, but you mentioned commissions and it being a commission-based business. And recently there's been the NAR ruling. And being completely honest, I don't exactly understand it. Like, I don't know what I sort of understand that there was, you know, a set commission and now it's not a set commission, but how does that, like, as a realtor, how do you see that? Like, how does that impact how your business will operate and things like that?
So, okay, this is my point of view. So actually, I think it's super related to what we were talking about, because getting into real estate school, I'm gonna kind of go backwards a little bit and we'll get on this subject. Getting into real estate is fairly easy. Getting a real estate license is actually not super hard. Like you even shared, it's not rocket science. However, there is people who are real estate agents who are broke, and there are people who are real estate agents who make tons of money. So it just kind of depends on, again, how you operate your business, just like how someone opens up a restaurant and they close the restaurant versus a restaurant that opens up and starts franchising. So I see this as a opportunity for, I hope, the real estate industry to really find a way to probably, I don't know, I would say work on our education system of truly preparing a real estate agent to articulate their value proposition.
Go back, and I think that's where we're failing. And start getting into real estate. Worked really hard for the next 13 years.
I'm actually on a mission currently right now, especially with me building a real estate team, but it's not even just for my own like building of my personal team, but I get so many people who reach out to ask me about getting into real estate. Obviously see my lifestyle, and they're like, you know, it's pretty easy to be like, hey, you, I want that. How did you get there? And so I saw this meme that was like, we all were so foolish in the 1990s and didn't buy real estate. And I was like, yes, I should have bought real estate when I was in elementary school. So I realized that, you know, like I was sharing before, I chose a career because I didn't want to get into 4 years of college. My husband had already did that. He already had that bill, right? We were like, oh my gosh, two bills. Like, I don't even know. One of us might become a stay-at-home parent. We were all, I mean, I'm not going to lie, we're all assuming it was going to be me. And I just was like, okay, I'm just going to choose a job that gives me that flexibility, because I did already have an idea that I wanted to be a working parent. So yes, it was getting easy. It was too easy to get in. I have shared with some that I have actually thought that we should have some type of apprenticeship, because I have friends who are plumbers, are AC techs, electricians. They all have apprenticeship involved in their business. Even our home inspectors have to go through apprenticeship. And real estate agents, depending on what state you're in, but most can get your license pretty quickly within a couple of months, go on an online school, and then sell $1 million house tomorrow. And that's a huge financial decision. And I would admit that a lot of people who are in real estate, and I've obviously had advantages from this, is usually people will go to people they have relationships with, because you need to like, know, and trust somebody. This is a very intimate thing that you're about to get into, so you're going to kind of want to like the person you're in business with. That's where we're getting away with some stuff, because that's where the failure of communicating that value proposition of what am I going to do for you as a real estate professional through this transaction. And so maybe a lot of real estate agents have been taking opportunities of what is normal, right? You know, so that's where the, where they, right. the whole reason why we even have this is talking about the whole like standard fixed pricing, right? And, but in all reality, commission is negotiable. And if I did, if I'm going to be really honest, if I had someone who was like pretty new in their career and they wanted to be my realtor and I was looking for a deal, I'd probably negotiate their commission because I'm going to be pretty quick to assume that I'm probably going to be going through some road bumps with them because they're still learning the business. And that's what I wanted to avoid when I got into real estate. I was like, I want to put my kind of put my name under someone else's name who has established.
I've
done this business. I have the experience. So yeah, I definitely believe in the apprenticeship. So just going into the NAR, the realtor is not having the skill sets because we don't we learn what we need to learn in real estate school. So you have your license, right? Your real estate license? No, you don't. Okay. So I tell everyone, I'm like, you're getting your real estate license to pass the test, but you're probably not going to use half that information once you get into real estate. At that point, it's going to be the real estate broker who's going to be the one that teaches you. And because brokers range anywhere from, you know, being a flat fee, hey, just hang your license here and you don't even have to pay me, to brokerages that obviously cost money to be a part of.
And I actually know how to do that stuff. Like I have worked for the, I have worked in those trades, like, but I would still have to go work for someone for, I think it's 4 years in most trades to be able to actually get your license. And so contractor license, all that stuff, like you have to work in the field for a time to be able to get the actual license. It doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, there's like, you know, unlicensed people and handyman and stuff like that doing that stuff, and they might be very good at it. But in order to have, you know, I'm registered with the state, here's my license number, all of that, like you do have to go do some level of apprenticeship and work a certain number of hours under someone who is licensed or, you know, master electrician or whatever it might be.
Yep. And that kind of makes me think about this, just thinking about how we work with other businesses, like me getting a brand new AC or not AC, guy, right. but like an electrician, he might do jobs at a cheaper fee versus the guy who's been doing it for a really long time. For one, he probably has systems that are going to be super efficient. Like if I know when I hire the handyman, who's probably not licensed in anything, it's probably going to take him some time. He's going to probably give me a week and then it's going to turn into 10 days. And then all of a sudden this whole electrical job just turned into something way bigger than I thought. And versus going and hiring the professional who's been doing this at a high level, has systems, has efficiency, has, you know, has all the things set up. Plus there's probably a lot of convenience perks, right? They probably have a nice website. I can click on the link, schedule. I don't have to worry about trying to wait till they open to call. There's so many things that I don't think people put into thought when they are getting their real estate license. It's like you're opening up a business. And we should definitely not all be treated equal in that sense because we all come with different experiences. We have different levels of, you know, how we want to service our clients. There's not just one little book and this says this is how everyone operates as a real estate agent or a realtor. So I think that as I'm training my own agents on my team is that you got to make sure that from the very beginning, even if they're a friend, I joked about this with my friends, actually. I would literally tell them and I would shake their hand and be like, hi, I'm Danny Hampton. You're a real estate agent. And they would, you know, they would just give me a hard time, but I'm like, but I'm truly putting myself in that professional state right now.
A high stress.
I need you to see me as a professional because
I'm like, I don't like it, but it doesn't bother me that much.
We're probably going to,
my you know, mom,
there's
my
things
wife,
that like, will both, always happen that like, will be unexpected.
It's a disaster
through
time
a,
when you have to move
transaction.
Again. It's just
plus,
like,
I haven't really right. met anyone who loves to move. I don't know if you have. Right. Yeah, just don't talk to them. Like, you know, just, hey, don't take anything seriously right now with what they say. They're probably emotional. Like, and that's the part where I think there should be like a whole separate class in real estate school for like just handling people's emotions, because we all need like a degree in psychology, honestly, because this is such a stressful time. Yeah. And even my husband and I, we moved this last year a year ago, and I've been in business for 10 years. He's been a part of my real estate business for 5 years, and you would have never thought this man has ever moved in his life. And he'll listen to you. Actually, you know what? He never listens to the podcast, so you'll probably not hear this. He won't listen to a podcast I'm on, by the way, but he's like, I hear her talking enough. It's like a different human kind of comes out, like just your stressors and things kind of, you know, depending on, you know, how you manage your emotions and all those things. I'm like, it brings out a different side. So, yeah, I think that those are things that real estate professionals are not planning on learning how to navigate.
And that's whether they're listing for you or they're the buyer's agent or whatever it is. I've worked with both sides. It didn't always make sense that, like, why is this person getting, you know, this automatic amount of money? Like, they haven't really done that much for us, or vice versa. Like, and it's just, as you just said, like, I would rather pay, like, if especially, I guess, on the, well, really on either side, like this, here's your train. You're working for someone, you're wanting someone to negotiate this transaction for you, right? Like, both the price, which is what most people think of when they think of negotiation, but it's like you said, like all of the emotional baggage that comes on both sides of the transaction, and like the move and all of it. And it's like, some people are very, very good at that. And having someone that would be very, very good at that is worth paying a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But it's frustrating to pay that same amount for someone that doesn't do it, right? Like it's just like.
And that's why that makes sense to me. So that's why I was like, there is a part of me that makes, I understand why this conversation is coming up. Like, I understand why this is coming across at a high level. But I think that there is, I think there's a lot to adjust here, and I'm here for it. I'm here for the opportunity, just because I think that, I would be pushing, like I said, if I can even just put a small voice out there that I'm like, put some apprenticeship inside real estate, because I think that regardless of you, if you're coming into this business at 22 or coming into this business at 49, mm-hmm. I think that there is a lot of value to go with being working with someone who's been in the business, who has already gone through the quirks and had to build those experiences. And real estate is different almost every single time. Every house is different. Yeah. Every client is different. But I think that experience does, you know, tend to pay. But it's also, I still argue that a little bit, because it depends on if someone's using their experience to improve their business and their skills versus just riding on, I've been in this business for this long. That's why even for me, the gentleman that I joined in the first couple of years, I mean, he was averaging selling over 200 homes a year. So, I mean, that... some people sell 200 homes in their whole lifespan of career. So I'm over here like, cool, I can get a lot more experience in a smaller amount of time just working under that person's wing. So yeah, that's kind of that's why I tell a lot of people too. I don't know how to be a casual, I sell a few homes a year realtor. Like, I only understand how to be a real estate agent who does it at a higher level. So, like, right now, everything I have is built for selling 100 homes a year. And I'm bored.
Having the ability to say, okay, well, that's fine. You don't have to mandate what my commission is, because I'll just be the best at it and people will pay me what I want my commission to be because I'm the best at it. And that's how I think most everything should be, like, that, just especially in this type of environment. And you mentioned, you know, kind of experience. I think most people look at experience as age, right? They, like, you have to be old to be experienced, but you know, you don't really know when that person started. And I agree with you. Like, there's a lot of people. It's so funny. Like, this whole conversation is, I'm finding all these parallels with what I know from my veterinary career as well. Just like some of this, like a lot of people do something for a long time and they might be doing it well, but if you ask them, why do you do it that way? And their answer is, because I've always done it that way. Like, to me, that is like the biggest cop out you could possibly have. Like, that's not, things change, right? Like we have iPhones and AI is, you know, like, there are things that are not the same when you started doing this in 2000 or to whatever it was, like, it, whatever. If you've been doing it for 30 years, guess what? You shouldn't be doing it the same. You just should. There's no way we should be doing anything the same as we were 30, 40 years ago. It doesn't make any sense given where we are in the technology. Now, some, like, that's not to take away from the experience, because that means if you've been doing it for 30, 40 years, you've seen a lot of things. But if you're not adapting to that and taking the good of that and then combining it with the advancements we have, like, that's just, you're leaving something on the table, I think.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to the, how to articulate your value, right? I think it's your marketing, it's your messaging. I think we're all human. So we all want to look for the easy button. You were just talking about how our life is changing with technology. And yes, we all live in an Amazon Prime world now. So all of our expectation levels are under 2 days. Like, we are, like, everything gets delivered in under 2 days if you're on Prime. I think it is, like, in this business world, you're just having to be able to go, what are my consumers, like, lifestyles, what's their mentality, what's their expectations, and being able to communicate that at a high level. And if you're not able to communicate that at a high level, it's probably going to reflect on your business. And so, you know, a few, that's where, like, when you get into this business, get into real estate, you have to be great at customer service. You have to be great at marketing. You have to be great at negotiations. You have to be, you know, I mean, there are so many hats in real estate, that's why I believe in the real estate team, because I cannot be great at everything.
Danny, I want to switch gears so I get the chance to ask you all the questions that I ask every guest. There's four. It's not a long quiz. But the first question I ask everybody is, you know, what is your why? Of course, the name of the show is Know Your Why. And I think, oftentimes people's whys are evolving, but what drives you? You mentioned, you know, you're built to do 100 plus houses, housing transactions a year, and you're bored. So what keeps that, you know, keeps that fire going? What keeps you driven?
I know, from what I've learned, because everybody's answers always are like their kids and their family and all of those things. And for some reason, I'm like, every time I get into these, like, mastermind groups or whatever, they're like, stop using your kids. Is like, that's the why. And I'm like, well, it's not bad to have that. I know, for me, I used to say for a while, I'm on a mission to make that spot on my kids' homework assignment that is, who is your role model? And I am aiming for that spot that I want my kids to list me. And I'll admit that it's because I didn't put anyone in that spot. I actually left that blank when I was asked that many times through school. I know people, I didn't watch sports. I didn't watch, my husband would put Emmett Smith. But I know that I'm like, for some reason that I didn't have someone for that spot, and that really just hit me. And when I got into the seat and just kind of developed as just a person in my adult life, I'm just like, I'm on a mission to be an influencer. I have a job that gives me the ability to meet many, many people. And if I can be a positive influence in someone's life, regardless if I'm doing a transaction with them, or I end up just gaining a friend.
This could be a whole nother, hour discussion, but that's one of the things about being an entrepreneur and driven and growing in business and stuff like that. You want to show them, you want to lead by example, right? But also want to be a present parent. And it's not always those two things don't necessarily always go together. And it's a really hard thing to kind of wrap your head around as you're going through it. And again, it's another reason why, I would, when we talk about people starting off in whatever industry or whatever, and in your early years, you don't have to worry about balance. Forget about balance. So don't balance later. do the hard work then, so that you can balance later. That's just, to me, it's kind of like, if I could go back in time, that would be the one thing, is build for the future more when I was younger. I worked plenty hard. I just wish I wish I used that to build for now.
I wish I got asked the question, what was your 5-year plan, more times. And I don't think I didn't take it seriously. I think when you're at certain ages that you're just kind of dude, I'm just trying to figure out today. But I think that you don't realize how much that compound effect applies in your life, where all those little decisions we're making every single day are going to apply in 5 years. And I've just got to see it in my own career, in my life. But even for going back to that why factor, and going back to being a better role model for my kids. It's in all things. I don't want my role model just to be tied to my business. I want my role model to be tied to who I am as a human. And being that person who's, I don't just get that position because I'm mom. I get that position because I got to teach so I have an 8 turning 9-year-old daughter, and she's actually making me learn way more about myself every single day. And it's, figuring out what little things can I say today that are going to compound and really help her manage, maybe how kids are teasing at school. And maybe if I can help her give a little less reaction, because I'm a very reactive person. I'm a highly expressive person. And it kicks my butt every single day.
Tell us something about yourself that isn't common knowledge. Special skill, hobby, anything you're comfortable sharing.
Oh, isn't that funny? It's like that resume I tell you that we didn't want to share back in the day or whatever. I'm like, so if this to get a really good laugh in the room, I'll tell people that. So I was an entrepreneur at a very young age. I just didn't put that word together for what I did back when I was a kid. I'm very fortunate to have grown up very humble. So didn't have a lot of money. And when you're going through those middle school years of everyone wearing a certain brand and things like that, you're starting to feel like you're not in the crowd anymore because you're not wearing the same clothes. I'm shopping at Goodwill and they're shopping at Hollister or whatever that, you know, store was at the time. That's going to date people right now. I started just trying to figure out how can I make money. And I knew I wasn't old enough to work. So I did all of the crazy odd end things to, you know, I took my Coke cans from home and I went to the park and I started selling them for 50 cents each and, you know, raking leaves, walking dogs, doing all those things. Those are pretty normal stuff.
I was like early teens and I bought us our first VCR. Like I was like, I wanted, you know, like we should be able to watch movies. And like, I bought us a VCR just because, and I just went to work. I did, you know, my mom worked at a restaurant, so I got to start working earlier than whatever the legal age is and stuff. And yeah. And my uncle owned a pressure washing business. So I worked for him before I should have been able to. And it was just, but it was like, It was cool. It was like a cool feeling to be able to do something like that, like just, you know, be a contributor, I guess. I don't know. So I think, you know, it's when you come from that background, I think it's more than
the
just
norm.
Oh, I want those jeans. Like it was nice that I could then buy what I wanted if I worked enough, but it was like, I don't know that it was always I feel like it was almost like a form of rebellion more than anything, like rebelling against not wanting to be poor. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah. Oh, and it makes me a workaholic today. Like absolutely has everything to do with being a workaholic. I also will not stop. I will not step into Goodwill. Like I just won't. Like I just like, I'm like trauma. I have no idea. And then the other part of that too, is just being able to go, okay, you know what? I'm comfortable. I will say I'm learning to be comfortable with the fact that yes, I do like nice things. You know, we live in this world where people will shame people for being materialistic and all of those weird things that we're starting to do to shame people. And I'm like, just because I drive this and not this car, like just whatever it is. And I will admit, I did learn in my real estate career because I made it my goal to get a Lexus. I was like, all right, if I can be this age, make six figures, and I'm going to go walk into the Lexus dealership. And so I just, in my mind, I'm like, luxury, that will make me look like I'm experienced.
And then solves that problem.
After a few, I had two Lexuses. I actually hated the idea of like, if I rubbed a curb or something, I would just freak out. And I'm like, I don't deserve this car. I am now a Jeep girl, ride or die. That's my car. I have a Jeep and I am meant to drive over curbs. It does solve that problem. Big tires. That's what solves the problem.
Yeah.
But no, I think that, there's some pros to that lifestyle. And I'm now on a mission because again, I'm now, since I'm hopefully having my children benefit from not having to live that type of, to live that life of, you know, not knowing when you're truly having to think through like I can't order something because it costs too much money, right? Like, and it's just being a simple meal, right? To the point where it's like, no, we have to eat on 50 Cent Tuesdays. Like that actually is like, there's no choice. I keep thinking about how I can find a way for my kids to understand value of a dollar.
That is definitely.
And to understand the contributing factor.
It's a tax write-off too.
Able to there's feel like they have those pros, choices
there's
and the luxury of those choices,
to,
but
yeah,
also to feel
them
like
at a young age, but
it has to be earned in some sense too.
When people hear this and they want to reach out, what's the best
piece
way?
And trust me, because we own our own business, our children will be working young. I'm like, she is licking envelopes, you know, like whatever needs to happen. So Instagram is definitely my best way. It's funny, I think my friends are starting to catch on that the best way to reach me is my Instagram versus my text messages now. I think it's because when we open the app, we're like in this like fun mode. We're like, yay, versus like you're opening your phone and you're like, oh my God, this is work. I gotta go do something. So I was like, I think you always catch me in a when I'm on my Instagram.
You're gonna love this one. Please like, rate, and review the show. Find Danny on Instagram. And thank you all for listening.
Hey there, I am Dr. Jason Ballara, and this is the Know Your Why podcast, where we explore the why behind success. Every week, I meet with real estate investors, veterinary entrepreneurs, mindset coaches, authors, and fitness professionals to uncover their why and how it drives them on the winding road to success. What is your why?